We noted the Badi Shulchan suggestion that may be the reason that when it comes to Sheila Shalom, that not only is there an Isser for an Avil to ask B'Shalom Acherim during Shiva, but there's an Isser for Acherim to ask B'Shalomo during Shlosh Shiva Beis Chodesh, and the Badi Shulchan suggested that's based on a notion of Loig L'Rash. If you know the Avil's not in a good state, so it's Loig L'Rash to ask him how he's doing or to be Shalom B'Shalomo. Gary asked how we know that there's a concept of Loig L'Rash beyond having to duck myself in the presence of a mace. And just an anecdote, I, on Erev Shabbos, was with my daughter at an office where they perform pediatric endoscopies, which are performed under general anesthesia. So I noticed a sign in the waiting room that says there are children in this room who likely have not eaten for many hours, and please be considerate of them and do not bring food or eat in their presence. So a mikan that even in the world at large, there's a notion of Loig L'Rash in that kind of a context. Rav Avadia has a chiddush here on page Reish Mem Zayin, based on the following din. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch Shin Sadi Dalid Seif Dalid, Shin Sadi Dalid Seif Dalid, the Mechaber writes here, Kol Shloshi Yomim, based on Yerushalmi, Kol Shloshi Yomim Yer HaAvel Ki'ilu Chereb Menachas L'Bein Seifav. During the first 3 days after a patira, the Avil should view as if there's a sword hanging between his shoulders. Mishlosha V'yachiva Ki'ilu Zakov Kenegdo V'Karin Zavis. From day 3 to 7, he should view the sword as if it is opposite him in the corner. Mishiva V'ashloshim Ki'ilu Overeth L'Fanav V'Shok, as if it's passing in front of him in the marketplace. So it keeps on getting more distant. So there's an element of din which is present, threatening the family of the niftar. And if a male son is born to this mishpacha, that creates a refuah for the mishpacha. So Ravadi suggests, based on this Gemara, which is called in Shulchan Aruch, that the Isser of Sheila Shalom, the reason you can't be Shalom with Shalom HaAvel, is because he's not in a state of Shalom. Why is he not in a state of Shalom? Because there's this looming threat of the Midas HaDin, which is threatening him. But in a situation where that threat is neutralized, Noah then, Zachar, Nisrapikol Mishpacha, so then there shouldn't be an Isser of Sheila Shalom of an Avel. So Ravadi writes that if Noah ben Zachar in the Mishpacha, so then there wouldn't be an Isser of Sheila Shalom anywhere. That's a Chiddush of Dina, I haven't seen it anywhere else. That is his suggestion.
What's
the connection? The connection is the reason for Isser of Sheila Shalom is because he's not Shari B'Shalom. Why is he not Shari B'Shalom? Because all that's going on. So if you get rid of that problem, so then he could be Shari B'Shalom again, and he could be Shalom B'Shalom. So Ravadi is an interesting suggestion. As we noted last time, the Rav is of the opinion that in addition to the formal Isser Sheila Shalom, that you're not allowed to ask Shalom of an Avel, and during Shiva, an Avel doesn't ask B'Shalom Acherim, in addition to that, there's another Isser of Sheila Shalom of Beis Avel, that even if you have two non-Avelim who are present in a Beis Avel, they cannot greet each other. So the Rav didn't make that up, that appears in the Aruch HaShulchan as well, and the Reshefer quotes that Ramosha held that way as well. As a further extension of the Isser Sheila Shalom, the Rambam writes in Perek Hei Halacha Kaf, in the Sheila Shalom Netzar, the Avel, Kal V'Chomer Shu Asur L'Harvath Dvarim V'Lisvok, Shinam Ardom. So the basis of the Isser Sheila Shalom is Hanekdo. So it doesn't just mean that you can't be Shalomo, but Kal V'Chomer, if you can't be Shalom Shlomo, you also shouldn't engage in Ribui Dvarim V'Schok. So that's what we have here in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, Shin Pei Hei Sif Aleph quotes this. Me'afir she'afir v'she'el ha'shalom kashigen she'afir l'harboz bidvarim. Then the Rama writes that it's a further extension of the Isser She'el ha'shalom. This is at the end of the Sim, the end of Sif Gimel. Asu l'shloch manos l'avel al avi v'imo kol yubeis chodesh. That you shouldn't send gifts to an avel for the entire year of Beis Chodesh. Even on Shabbos, where the minhag is not to be shalal b'shalom b'Shabbos, aval b'makom shenagu l'shalal b'shalom b'Shabbos, gam zeh shari. The Rama says that you shouldn't be shaleach manos and avel talking Beis Chodesh. And in Hilchos Purim, this comes up in the context of shloch manos proper. In Arachayim, Simin Taf Reish Sadi Vav, Siv Vav, the Mechaber writes, Yesh mi she'omer she'avel chayiv l'shloach manos. And the Rama says, the Mechaber says, the avel is mechuyev to, he's mechuyev in the mitzvah of shloach manos. That's the position of Kemat all the Rishonim. There is a position of the Riaz. The Riaz quote in the Shilta Gibarim here on Daf Yitzayin and Mabez Bedaf Erif. Daf Yitzayin and Mabez Bedaf Erif and Ma'ikatan. So the Riaz has an opinion that an Avel within Shiva is Pater from Shloch Manos. Not so clear what that's based on. But all the other Rishonim argue. So the Chaber says over here that even though it says it is a Yesh Misha Omer, so that is, there is that minority opinion Rishonim that argues, but in principle Rav Rishonim assume that an Avel is Mechuyiv in Shloch Manos, even Toch Sheva, an Avel is Mechuyiv in all mitzvos. Maybe not Tefillin on day one, we'll see, but aside from that, that was the Kasha the Ritvayas that we saw about Talmud Torah, an Avel is Mechuyiv in all mitzvos, so no reason it shouldn't be Mechuyiv in Shloch Manos as well. But the Rama adds, that's as far as the Avel sending Shloch Manos to others. Aval, Ein Shalchin La'Avel Kol Yuvayz Chodesh. But you should not send Shloch Manos to the Avel himself for the entire Yuvayz Chodesh. This is based on a Maril, the Maril in Sim and Lamed Aleph, where the Maril writes, Ein L'cha She'el Shalom Gadol Mizeh. That if an Avel is Aser B'She'el Shalom, you're not allowed to be Shalom B'Shalom Ha'Avel, so there's no greater She'el Shalom than sending a gift. There's the Shela Shalom of greeting him to Shalom or inquiring as to his well-being. And then even greater than that, you're sending a gift. That's a super Shela Shalom, and that's usher, and therefore you shouldn't send Shloch Manos to an Avel. In Ein Ba'ir Ela Avel, in Afer, Chayv Shloch Avel, Kedei L'Kayv Shloch Manos. If the only person that you can Kayv and Mitzvah with is the Avel, is no one else in town, so then, in order for you to be able to Kayv your Mitzvah, then you're allowed to do so. Fine, that's what the Rama writes over here, that an Avel should not receive, you should not send Shloch Manos to an Avel on Toch Yubeis Chodesh, just as it's also to be Shalom L'Shlomo Toch Yubeis Chodesh. Yeah.
So if you're an Avel and someone tries to send it to you, should you refuse
then? So that would be the same din as Shela Shalom in general, that if someone's Shalom L'Shlomo, you can respond. So if someone gives you, then you don't have to refuse. But one should not give Shloch Manos to an Avel.
Right, within those 3 days of it, that you'd have to refuse it.
Presumably. Now, Rav Avadya writes, page Reishon and Beis, that this is the Rama. And the Rama's position is predicated on the practice of Ashkenazim, of the Rama earlier in the Siman, that Nihugi Avelos are Noheg Okay. What about sending shlach manis, let's say, summons in a veil, can you send shlach manis to his wife? So the Bava Shochan thinks, the Urim page Rish Lamed Hei, it depends on what his intent is. If his intention is really to give shlach manis to the Avel, but there's a technical impediment that he can't, so he gives it to the other's wife because he knows that that way it'll get to the other, so then that's inappropriate. But if his intention is to give to the, or her intention is to give to the other's wife, and not to the other, then maybe that would be okay. Rav Schechter pointed out, maybe there's another cheshbon, let's say an other tells Shiva. And Rav Schechter was sitting Shiva for his father, so the week of Shiva included Purim. So, based on the Rav's idea that there is a notion of an Isser Shel Shalom in the Beis Avel, so maybe you can't give Shalach Manas in the Beis Avel, even not to the Avel himself. Because that would be a violation of Shel Shalom in the Beis Avel.
Isn't
that
enough for the man to
transcend through? That's a Savonis issue, right. So a woman to give to his wife. Or however you get around
to Savonis. No, the point is that like it's only appropriate for the shochan if it's really meant for the wife.
Right.
You know, meaning the woman from the first shochan is sending to wife.
Right.
And a man should never. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a limited issue you could get out of sometimes. Rav Moshe of the Tshuva, excuse me, Yerodei Chel Udei Sim Kuf Samaches, one second, Yerodei Chel Udei Sim Kuf Samaches, regarding the practice that he notes of people sending a lot of food to a Beis Avel. So he was asked whether that's a violation, he was asked two things. Is that a violation of Sheila Shalom, of giving a gift in Avel, is that a violation of Chukas HaGoyim? As far as whether it's a violation of Sheila Shalom, the Rama says over here that you shouldn't be Shalayach Manos. So that's really Shiluach Manos. Why should you be able to send food to a Beis Avel? So Ramosha thinks that's not a problem. Even though maybe on some level, ideally, you shouldn't do it. But he says that's not a problem because you already have precedent for that in the Gemara. The Gemara here in Moed Katan and Daf Kazayin and Aleph records following the Mishnah that Tana Rabbana Birishana Yamalichim Beis Avel Ashirim Bekalaf Beshal Kesef Beshal Zav Vaniyim Besali Nesarim Shalarei Beklufa Vayu Vaniyim Esvayishim Yeskinu Shiyu Akol Meviyim Besali Nesarim Shalarei Arava Kelufa and they quote in Shalaniyim. So apparently the practice used to be that they would bring food to Beis Avel, and the rich people would put it in fancy containers, and the poor people would put it in not-so-fancy containers. And then they made a takana that everyone should use the same non-fancy containers, not to be mevayish the aniyim. So apparently you saw there was a practice already then of bringing food to Beis Avel. So Rav Moshe thinks that this is a kiyum in Tanchumin, that yeah, there's a, strictly speaking, technical dinner suda savra for the first suda, but you also have to make sure that the avail and have what to eat. So Moshe thinks that's kiyam in tanchume availim. It's not a violation of sending a gift in up. Rav Avadya writes the same thing in the Chazon Avadya as well. Because it's food. Yeah. Well, because it's food and there's some notion of tanchumen through sending food because they need to eat. If you're sending food during shloshim, maybe a violation of this. But during Shiva, when things are, it isn't necessarily time to prepare food, they need food, so you're doing a service by sending food, that's some form of nicham
avelim.
Right, so Suda Zavra is a technical din, so once they have to give food to them to eat. Beyond that, Rav Moshe says that the normal family of food in the Beis Avel the entire week would further the team of Tanchumi Avelim along those lines.
It's like they
It would be, right, presumably, a gift of something that's necessary for normal functioning would be okay. A gift for the sake of giving a gift would be a problem. Someone, just like the Mishra Berurah writes by Mishael Achmanos, said if the person's an ani, so then there's no problem giving him because that's, he needs the food. Yeah, Avi.
According to Bali Ashokan, why does it matter what the giver is kavana is? Because the husband can be
kona
and he gives
it
to the wife.
No, so I think he's not bothered by that technicality. Maybe,
why is it not? I mean,
what?
It's not like he's halakhically receiving the gift.
But it's not given to him. It's not given to him as a gift to him, just through some halakha technicality. I think Rabbi Willig may have been more bothered by that issue. What you're raising, so maybe that's not the question. But I think the Baal Shulchan is assuming that we don't have to be bothered by the halakha technicality. Okay. Good. Let's move on to Atifa Sarosh. So. I guess we all move on. Yeah.
Going back to Rav Ovadia,
yeah.
The Isser Shel Shalom.
Yeah.
So what is Shel Shalom? Being it's not.
That was the first last time. That's already unclear from the days of the Ritzvah on the Ram, what Shel Shalom is. Right.
But they're being.
So we said they're,
even if you say the bracha.
Right.
So only someone who has Shalom gets a bracha.
So the easy.
What do you think the opposite?
No, so if you understand, probably the simplest understanding of Sheila Shalom, or that which according to the according to most would be a problem, is to be Shoel Bishlomo with the Lashon of Shalom. And to inquire about his welfare using the Lashon of Shalom, perhaps to inquire about his welfare without the Lashon of Shalom. So that is how you more readily understand the notion that he's not Shoel Bishlomo. So it's inappropriate to be Shoel Bishlomo to ask what he's doing, because you know what he's doing. He's not doing well. Why are you asking? If your definition is broadened to include a bracha, so you have to finesse that a little bit. And even so, a bracha is not appropriate to give a bracha of the shalom because, you know, it's not the shalom. But in the first definition of to be shoel b'shlomo, to ask, to inquire about his welfare, probably the easiest to understand along those lines. I saw in the, not to go back to the categories where he presented them, I saw in the Halicha Shlomo Tfila, Perek Beis, I think it's Os Katei or Kavav, the one that Shlomo Zalman greeted an Avel with a how are you, or a Mat Shlomcha. And then he apologized because he said he forgot that he didn't realize he was an Avelis, or he shouldn't have extended the greeting. So he apologized for extending the greeting. Okay, so let's talk about Tivas HaRosh. The Gemara tells us back to Tetzvav, Amud Aleph, which is the source of all the Nihuvi Avelis, that an Avel must perform Atifas HaRosh because of the pasuk in Yecheskel, Lo Sata Al Safam Mechlal the Kuli Alma Mechaivi. What is Atifas HaRosh? The Gemara tells us from the Achav Tala Ben Aleph, Atifas HaRosh is Atifas Yishmaelim, the way the Arabs would cover their head, which we know of a little bit from Hilchos Talus, covering the bottom of the face, covering the top of the face, leaving the eyes exposed, some kind of kafia-like atifa. But Tosus already tells us in Daf Aleph Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Eilu Dvarim, that already in the time of Tosfos, the practice was not to fulfill Atifas HaRosh. Why not? The Tosafot writes, "Vodesh li ten tam batipas harosh shelo hayam nevi kiim li deis chok inyan atipas yishmelim." So if an avil would be walking around or sitting around in his base avil in medieval Europe wearing a kafiyah, the people would think that was a little bit funny and laugh at him. So therefore, the practice developed of avilim not fulfilling atipas harosh. So why should that make a difference that people laugh at him? People laugh at us for many things. So Rabbi Shulchan suggests in Sifkat and Dalid that when it comes to this kind of a kiyum and avelus, and we'll see the same thing is expressed by kriya samita, but kriya samita and ativas harosh are not necessarily isurim, they're kiyum of some sort, they're a way of expressing one's avelus, and that kind of expression of avelus is a form of kavod ames, kavod ames, kavod avelim. So the Baal Yishochan suggests that it doesn't make sense to have a action which is reflective of kavod ames if it's just going to engender cynicism and scorn. Then you're not fulfilling the objective. That's not kavod ames. So he says, you see that idea in the Ritva and the Kav Beis on the base. The Gemara there has the notion of chalitas kasef, of exposing the shoulder. So that, again, we shouldn't say is not our practice. And the Ritva there explains, why don't we fulfill chalitza kasef? Kaf beis on the beis yirah maskal al aviv. Kaf beis on the beis yirah maskal al aviv. So the Ritva writes, v'yesha pirshu, nimesha rov Yisrael darim ben agayim. The most Jews live amongst the non-Jews. V'shema yal igu aleinu, they're going to make fun of us. V'eino kavit shalmeis. And that's not kavod ames. So when it comes to these notions, these practices of chalitza kasef, or kriyas hamita, or ativas harosh, if the whole point is to engender kavod ames, and instead it's going to engender scorn and laughter, so then it makes sense not to practice it. Yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense then to do the European equivalent as opposed to getting rid of it completely?
Good. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Very good. Okay. So that's what tells us. That's what Tosus writes, that the practice of reading the Talmud Tosus was not to fulfill Ativa Sarash. If you take a look at the Shach here, the Shach writes as follows. Niu, even though our practice is not to fulfill Ativa Sarash, that's what the Gemara writes. The Shach writes, "Miu yeshlino batifa kitas," but you should have a little bit of an atifa. The Hainu limshal hakova lamata lufnei ainayim. You should push the brim of the hat down above the eyes. That's what Shach writes. That even though we don't fulfill the technical atifa tarosh, the Shach says it's appropriate to have the Ke'en Atifa Tarosh and to put the hat down over the eyes. Baal Yishochan writes that even though the Shach writes isn't common practice, but there are people, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes, but there are people that do that. And the first time I noticed this was about 20 years ago when Rabbi Sachs was sitting Shiva for his father. I noticed he was makkid for the Shach. And then Rabbi Shachter, when he was in Avelis, Rabbi Willig was not makkid for this when he was in Avelis. So there are some people who do, but the sense is that most people do not. The Emir Bracha, Varya Pomeranchik, Talmud of Brisker Rav, who passed away at a very young age in Eretz Yisrael before the war, so he's not so convinced about the justification of the Minigola. He writes Emir Bracha, page Kufnam Aleph, that even though we don't do the technical Atifas Yishmaelim all the way, but whatever you're able to cover of your head, short of a tefachish melin, you should do. So he thinks, the shach sounds like even the shach suggestion of tipping the hat down is only the rav for the milsa. It's not an ikra din suggestion. It's a good idea. So the Amir Bracha thinks, no, that should be a ikra din suggestion. That should be the din. And a tefachish yishmeilin we don't do. But as much as you can cover of your head, you should do, short of a tefachish yishmeilin. So he thinks for the same reason that when you're davening, so you have a talis on, so then the other should be masked to do a tefach rosh the whole time and the talis is on his head. He should cover as much of his head as possible with a talis. And he doesn't understand why none of the posts can quote this lalacha. No one says like that. And then he wonders further in Eretz Yisrael. So in Europe, no one was wearing kafiyas. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are plenty of people that wear kafiyas. So why nowadays in Eretz Yisrael? Nowadays in the 1930s, he writes, why aren't we makbid on Tifus Shveilim again? Then it wouldn't be so bizarre to let Tifus Shveilim. There are plenty of local people who wear a Tifus Shveilim. So he leaves that as a question. At that point, he thinks, Mikra Din, that we really should be practicing a Tifus Shveilim to the extent possible, short of wearing a kafiyah in Warsaw. But he's not sure why the Minhag Olam seems to not be that way. Okay, let's move on to Kfiyas Amita. Exactly, the Gemara in Daf Tesvav, at the very bottom, Avil Chai B'Kfiyas Amita, then Avil has to turn over his bed. The Tani Bar Kapara, the Musti Yufni Nasati Bahem, that I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, infused my image, Tzelmo Kim, within man. Uba Avonosehem Hafaktiha. And because of their sins, I turned it over. Meaning this Tzelmo Kim was now taken from the world. Someone died. Kifu Mitoseyen Alel. So you should turn over your beds. So some kind of mashal. Just like this person's life was taken, so the Tzelem Elokim was turned over. So in recognition of this, in reaction, you should turn over your bed. As opposed to all the other limudim here, there's no pasuk per se. But this notion of the musti yufni nasati bahem. The Yerushalmi has a different explanation, and we'll come to this while Yerushalmi has the notion of hafku hasarsur, that the bed should be turned over because the middleman was turned over. What's the middleman? So the Korban Eidah there explains that the bed is the sarsur between man and his wife in the creation of a child. So the bed is the middleman that allows the creation of a child. So when a wife is taken, that middleman, that sarsur, should be turned over. So the notion of Kfiyas Amita, whether it's the Bavli or the Yerushalmi's explanation, is somewhat representative or allegoric. Okay, so what does it say Shulchan Aruch here? Avol chai b'kfiyas amita, and Avol has to turn the bed over. U'bishas shena v'achila yoshev al mita kfuya. And when he sleeps and eats, he sits, he may sit on the turned over bed. Avol kol hayom eino yoshev afilu al mita kfuya. But the rest of the day, he may not even sit on a mita kfuya. Ela al gabe karka. He must sit on the ground. V'chein ha-menachamim einan rishayim leishev ela al-gabe kark. And so to the menachamim, the people coming to visit with the aveilim, must also sit al-hakark. So we'll come back to the latter part of this mechaber in a little while. Now there's a major machlokes rishonim here about the din of kviyas hamita. According to the Rosh, Siman Ayin Ches, and the Ramban, and Rov Rishonim, the requirement of kviyas hamita is simply that you must turn over the bed, but there's no obligation to actually sleep on the turned over bed. So you have to turn the bed over, but you need not sleep on the turned over bed. According to the Rambam, Perek David Halacha Tes, part of the requirement of Kviyas Hamita is actually using the turned over bed. The Rambam writes, Perek David Halacha Tes, Ha'avil b'yom rishon b'lvad asher l'niach tefillin v'la kol mishalom v'chayiv leishev amita kfuya. The avil, day one, must sit on a turned over bed. U'bishar yimei avil, the rest of Shiva, mutu v'la kol mishalom v'la yishev agabi mafet v'karka. The rest of Shiva can sit on a mat or on the ground. The right is masig lori isi shoresh l'zeh. What's the source? The Rambam writes, he must sit on a mita kuya. It's not enough to turn the bed over, but he must sit on the turned over bed. But the Rambam writes, that requirement is only on Yom Risha. So there are two elements in the Rambam that require explanation. The Raivitz Asaga is what's the source that you actually have to sit on the bed. And the second question is, where does the Rambam get the distinction between Yom Risha and the rest of the Vedas from? We don't find that in the Gemara. So as far as the first question, how does the Rambam know that you must actually sit on the bed? So the Kesef Mishnah thinks he bases it on a Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Kaf Aleph has a lashon of lo ki and kviyas hamita. That if you sit on a chair, you're not mekayim kviyas hamita. That could mean the proper kiyum of kviyas hamita sitting on the mita kfuya. And the Bach thinks that the Rambam is based on Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi writes, mikan shayu sheinan amita kfuyas. That the practice was to sleep on a mita kfuya. So the Rambam has whatever source he has for the requirement of sleeping on or sitting on the mita kafuya. What about this distinction between day one and the rest of Shiva? So there's a piece in the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav has the following analysis. The Brisker Rav thinks that when it comes to kviyas hamita, there are two elements. There's number one, an isser of having upright beds in the house. The beds have to be turned over. And that's what the Rambam writes in Perakei Halachi Yafes, based on the Gemara and Daf Kasayim. Chayiv lichpos hamita kol shiva. So you have to turn the beds over the entire period of shiva. The lo mitasa b'vadu kota, not only the avil bed itself. Halakol mitos shiyesh lo b'sof besahu kota. You have to turn over all the beds. Afilu eser mitos basar batim. With the Eser Ayaros, Chayiv Lichpos Haskulin. So even if the person owned 10 houses, and he's only sitting Shiva one of them, he still has to have all the beds that he owns and all the 10 houses turned over. So there's one halacha that applies Kol Shiva, that all the beds need to be turned over. In addition to that, that's an Isser. In addition to that, there's a kiyum that you actually have to sit on a mita kfuya. But that kiyum of sitting on a mita kfuya doesn't have a shear. As long as you sit on the mita kfuya once during a velus, you've been mekayim that din of sitting on a mita kifuya. So ideally, that should be done on Yom Rishon, because Yom Rishon, according to the Rambam, is Avelus Min HaTorah. So if you're going to fulfill the din of sitting on a mita kifuya, so the ideal time to fulfill it is when Avelus is Min HaTorah. In a Hanami, if you, for whatever reason, were unable to sit on the mita kifuya on day one, then you should still sit on the mita kifuya some other time during Shiva. But the Lechachila is to be mekayim this din of sitting on a mita kifuya during the period in which Avelus is the Raisa, namely Avelus Yom Rishon. That's the Rishon of analysis, that there's a separate din of having the mitos kifuyos and sitting on a mita kifuya. Sitting on a mita kifuya only requires a single action. Now, if you accept the position of the Rosh, that there is no such din, there's no requirement of sitting or sleeping in a mita kifuya, then what is accomplished by the kifuya? So there is the symbolism that the Gemara expresses. The Rosh Hashanah quote from the Rav, this is printed in Big Ve'atzel on page Kuf Kaf Aleph. At the Rav thought this fits in to that whole notion of halacha to the Beis Avel. That part of the tzur of the Beis Avel is that you have to have the turned over beds. And that's why you have such a din that you have to turn over all the beds in the house, even if you don't have to sit on them, even if you're not going to sit on them, even if no one's sleeping on those beds. Still, part of the tzur of the Beis Avel is to turn over all the beds in the house. But nowadays, that same Tosafot that we quoted about Ativa Samita says something similar about Ativa Tarosh says something similar about Ktia Samita. Tosafot Nach of Aleph Amid Aleph. That our practice now in medieval Europe is not to do kfiyas anita, not to turn over the bed. Why? The Tosafot has two suggestions. Number one, we live in a society where there are plenty of non-Jews around, and if they see that we are turning over a bed, they are going to suspect us of kishuv. This is some kind of witchcraft or sorcery. And number two, it's impractical to perform kfiya samita on our beds. What exactly the Talmudic beds look like as opposed to the medieval beds, I'm not sure. But the Mitzvah was such that kfiya samita would not accomplish anything, or the beds were not turnoverable, or if you turn over the bed, it looks the same as if right side up and upside down look the same. So whatever the difference is, the Tosafot writes that our beds or his beds are not subject to kifiyah. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis. After v'nagu b'kifiyah samita, nidei sheyomer ha'ak ovdei kochavim shuv mechashefos, v'od she'en ha'mitas shalanu ha'siyus k'mitas shalahen, kidei she'hei nikr b'hen kifiyah. So these two reasons of Tosafot, according to Shulchan Aruch, that we don't have the practice of kifiyah. Ravadia writes, well, if the reason is kishuv, then maybe we shouldn't be concerned nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, because we have a Jewish majority. So what do we care if we live in a Jewish neighborhood? There aren't any non-Jews around that are going to suspect us of kishuv. If you have that perspective, we could probably say the same thing in Chutzlaris, that no one's going to suspect us of kishuv either. It's not we don't live in a society where kishuv is on the forefront of people's minds. Okay. Even if the technical din of kfiya samita doesn't apply, but the corollary of yeshiva gabe karka does. So where did that come from? The Makab already referenced the distinction between mita kfiya and being yoshev agave karka. That actually comes from a line in the Gemara that somehow was excised from our printed Gemara. If you look in the Be'er Agra here, in Sifkat and Beis. So the Ramban has this, and most of the Rishonim have this line in the Gemara. We don't have it in our printed Gemara. The Gemara had a line, Minayim la'avil she'ein rasha le'shev agabe mita, el agabe aris. But how do you know that an avil is not permitted to sit on a mita, but rather must sit on the ground? Shenemar, le'yeshvu mita la'aretz, pasuk ha'iyot. And then Minayim le'menachem, and then the Gemara has a parallel line, that the same is true of the Menachem, that the Avela must sit on the ground, and the Menachem also must sit on the ground, because when Eo's friend came to console him, they all sat on the ground together. And the Gemara writes, I call less of the Gemara Shalanu, Shesh Mitu Amat Pisim. So we, for whatever reason, don't have this in our printed Gemara. It was left out by the printers. But in the original versions of the Gemara that most of the Rishonim had, this line appears. So, if you have a mita kvuya, so then maybe the possibility of sitting on the mita kvuya. But if there's no mita kvuya, so then you definitely have to sit on the ground. The Shach writes over here, Sifkat and Aleph. So even though we don't have the minhag of kviyas hamita anymore, Nikal Makon also Leishiv Al Gabi Safal Al Kar Mitzasas. An Avil is not permitted to sit on a bench or on pillows. Ki Im Al Gabi Karka. You have to sit on the ground, Mamish. Im Lo Kol Bezakein Sheish Lehem Sar Yishiv Al Gabi Karka. Unless a person is sick and elderly, then Mutarim Lahasim Karka Demitaka. Then you can put a little pillow underneath. Excuse me, Miu, Yafa Leilat Velamot, and then others allowed to stand up, and to walk, Ve'en Sarach Leisha Klau, Rakishem Menachemim Eslo, Sarach Leisha Vagabe Karka. So if no one's in his presence, if there's no Menachemim, then he can go for a walk. He can walk around the house, he doesn't have to sit down all day. When there's Menachemim present, then he should sit down. V'adin, because Sharosa Lishon, the Sarach Lishon Vagabe Karka, when he wants to go to sleep, he has to sleep on the ground. However, even though in the Ikar HaDin both the Avelim and the Menachemim have to sit on the ground, but nowadays we assume that there's Mechila, that the Menachemim are allowed to sit on chairs and they don't have to sit on the ground. So the first part of this Sukkot, the Shach wrote that an Avel must sit on the ground, and he may not even sit on Kar Mitzasos, he al gab karka, he has to sit on the ground, mamish. The Valei Shulchan records here, Sifkat and Hay, that seems to be the prevalent minog, that Avelim don't have to sit on the ground. They may sit not in a regular chair, but in something that's higher than ground level, maybe within one tefach, maybe within three tefachim. That's a machmir tavel of bracha, like the shach, but the minhag seems to be not that way. Why is the minhag not that way? So Shafter quotes from the Rav, printed in Nefesh HaRav, page Reish Nun Gimel, that the din of Yeshiva Gabri Karka isn't the technical din that you have to be Yoshiva Gabri Karka Mamish, or even that it has to be within Lovet of a Karka. But the point of Yeshiva Gabri Karka is that you have to sit in a different fashion than you're accustomed to sitting. So you're accustomed to sitting on a regular chair, you're not allowed to sit in a regular chair. There has to be some kind of a shinoi. That shinoi doesn't have to be Al Gabri Karka Manish. Al Gabri Karka is a representation of the shinoi. So when there's no din of mita kfuya, so there's no kiyum per se of yeshiva agave karka mamish. That's what the Rav thought. And the second point that the Shach and the Taz both write, that a Avel should sleep on the ground, You look in the Pesach Shuvah, he calls him upon the Eros who argues. And the Orach HaShulchan writes that way as well. The minhag is to be mako, that an ovel need not sleep on the ground. And that seems to be the more common practice. Now, as far as yeshiva gabe karka, or yeshiva close to karka, Rabbi Willie points out, this is printed in Simon Bey's and the Avelis pieces at the end of Amor Nachayim Brachos, that the lashon of the Maram in Hilchos Machos, Maram has Hilchos Machos, so there in Simon Nandalit he has the following line, that the requirement of Yeshiva Gabi Karka is Dafka Kisha HaMenacha Minetzlo. So the requirement of Yeshiva Gabi Karka is Dafka in the presence of the Menachemim. And that seems to be the equation of the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Avail has to sit on the ground, and the Menachem has to sit on the ground. So when there are Menachemim, they all have to sit on the ground. We may be mochel that the Menachemim nowadays don't have to sit on the ground, but the requirement of Avail to sit on the ground is when they're in the presence of the Menachemim. The Drisha didn't understand that way. The Drisha understood that when there are Menachemim, he has to sit on the ground. When there are no Menachemim, he's allowed to walk around. But if he wanted to sit down, then he would have to sit on the ground. So Rabbi Willer thinks the halacha that the whole requirement of the Shiva Gabe Karka is only in the presence of Menachem, and based on this Maram, and he thinks that's Shad and Tosfos on Daf Kavayin as well. And therefore, if an Avel is, if there's no Menachem present, another, let's say, he's eating in the kitchen and there are no menachem around, then there's no requirement of yeshiva gabe karka. He can sit in a regular chair. The whole din of yeshiva gabe karka is only in the presence of menachem. The Bali Yeshulchan seems to say this as well in principle, although he says that the minhag is to be machmer in this. Again, the veilus is something difficult to assess. It doesn't mean a minhag. But that is the discussion. Okay, let's stop here. Tomorrow, we'll just begin a few minutes discussing the custom of covering mirrors in a Beis Avel, which may be related to Kriyas HaMita. And then we'll discuss the issue of filling the Yom Rishon, Simen Shin Pei Ches, and begin Simen Shin Pei Ches of Kibbutz Zegiutz. Five, good.